on late means called committee meetings. And if our senators and House members please take their seats, we will begin with Representative Butler, HJR 4, proposing amendments to the Oregon Constitution relating to marriage.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair.
Madam Chair, I just have a point of order. This was posted at 9 a.m. We actually had the hearing at 9:30 a.m. My point of order is I believe that the committee needs to have this in possession for 1 hour before it's posted, and it seemed to me that this hearing, at least at this time, is out of order.
I think I might ask staff to explain that.
The general government sub took testimony on this at 9:30 at possession of HDR 4. This was posted to the full Ways and Means at 9 a.m. I believe we actually have to have possession of the bill for the hour before the notice is given to the public. So I believe that this hearing is out of order at this time. I don't agree with that. I question the public notice, at least the spirit of the public notice. If the committee doesn't even have possession, I believe we should at least have possession of the bill before, because that's assuming some action is going to occur in the subcommittee, which is presumptuous. So you can't post a hearing for a bill you don't know you're going to have in your possession until the subcommittee acts.
Madam Co-Chair, we were posted for the subcommittee at 8 o'clock.
But my point is, we had a hearing at 9:30. So, literally, we still had possession of the bill at least until 9:30. So, it's presumptuous to assume in the full Ways and Means you can post for a hearing without having possession of the bill, given that there's every likelihood the subcommittee could have killed the bill.
Well, I reckon when we would have canceled all that during the day.
But my point is, I don't believe you can post it. You can post a hearing on a bill without having possession of it.
Well, this isn't a hearing, this is a work session.
Or a work session, either way.
Perhaps if we have just a few more moments of silence.
Jensen has
I'm just suggesting if you want to post it now for 11:15, that's fine, but I think we should follow our own rules.
Well, I think Mr. Simpson's gone to check on the rules, so we'll just stand. The committee will stand at 8 till we find out from Mr. Simpson.
You could also recess the hearing until the 1 hour time has elapsed. So
that's fine.
If it was in possession of, for instance, at at 9:20, then it's at 10:20, about the length of time you notice to be there.
Okay.
Other than it was posted at 4:10, I mean, if...
That we could still reset the hearing.
Yeah. I'm just asking that we follow the rules for the public.
I agree with you, Mr. Warner. I think we can stand these for a few moments till Mr. Spencer returns. Has returned.
I'm here to speak for me if my interpretation was correct, that the bill was in the possession of the full committee all the time, just up 2 years of distinction of not recommended.
Thank you, Mr. Simpson.
Thank you for the clarification.
Okay. Mark Sandbauer, go ahead.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. House Senate Resolution 4, Dan Gross, proposes an amendment to the Constitution to establish that marriage may only be between one male and one female and must be solemnized by law. Passed out of the House, referred to the Senate Committee on Public Affairs. Passed out of the Public Affairs and due pass recommendation and was referred to Ways and Means because of the fiscal impact. Fiscal impact is the impact of the special election for one measure. House Bill 2354 has been passed out of the House and contains an appropriation of $1.4 million to cover the cost of November 1999 special election. House Senate Resolution will be placed on that ballot, obviously. Your subcommittee recognizes that House Senate Resolution 4 may not add appreciable costs to November special election provided for in House Bill 2354 and recommends approval and a due pass to the Senate.
Okay, thank you, Representative Butler. Are there questions for Representative Butler on HJR 4?
Madam Chair.
Representative Lawrence.
I would just point out that I've passed out three editorials, one from the Mail Tribune.
MAIL
Tribune, the Oregonian, and the Registered Guard that all make the point that legislators have, to quote the Mail Tribune, people have put anti-gay politics behind them. As I said in subcommittee, view this amendment as to its motive coming from the same moral grounds as did the drafters of the original Oregon Constitution when they said that in the terms used in the original Oregon Constitution, Negroes, mulattoes, and Chinamen have no right to vote or hold property in Oregon. I see this as being on that same moral ground, and think it's a horrible, horrible thing to do to a group of defenseless people by those in the majority.
Thank you, Representative Leonard. Are there Senator Hannon?
Madam Chair, members, I've somewhat struggled over this issue and will be voting no. And the reason that I'm voting no is that I think there's a broader issue to what we're really doing here. As an example, and I've stated this several times, that my wife and I have been married 33 years. We don't need the Constitution to tell us we're married. We're committed to each other. It's not a covenant. It's not anything else. It's a commitment. Her to me and me to her. And we did it without the Constitution or anything else telling us that we had to be this and that and fit this criteria to be married. And then secondly, it bothers me that we have a couple of our daughters who were not raised that way, but they live with their boyfriends and have children by their boyfriends. Under this interpretation, common law cohabitation would be excluded. One of them's employers provides employee benefits for one of our daughters and a little son. I'm not going to shoot my own kids in the foot in the name of bringing something into the Constitution that I strongly disagree with. If there was a demanding reason that somehow Oregon was going to be the first state in the nation to recognize gay marriages, I would probably be first in line to say we need to discern between what we're doing. But I believe we're going beyond that. We're going beyond that and taking in a whole bunch of other people, including gays and lesbians, but we're taking in innocent individuals who, for whatever reason, are cohabitating. And if we have become such narrow in our perspective that we become intolerant of others, then we should not place our intolerance into the Constitution. That's not the place for it. And to me, it's going to be constitutional litter and not constitutional policy.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Trell?
I wanted to say thank you both to Representative Leonard and to Senator just spoke that they've said very important things about this legislation, and it seems to me that it's our job here is a fiscal job, whether or not we want to spend money having an election to put this into the Constitution, and I think it would be a waste of money to spend for this purpose, and this is, I think, a gross legislation. We ought not to be doing it, and so I'll be a no.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I want to say I support the marriage consisting of union of one man and one female, solemnized by law. But I don't believe this is an issue that needs to go into our Constitution. I believe this is going to be too contentious and divisive, and we can spend our time and resources on more important issues. So I'm going to be a no vote.
Mr. Senator, Senator Bryan.
Currently, and probably for the last 140 years approximately, the legislature has defined a marriage in Oregon as being between husband and wife. It's the only way you can get married, and it's ORS 106 point something. So if we're wrong in our policy in moving this bill forward, we've been wrong in the past. The reason why this is coming forward now and is being placed in the Constitution is a 1998 Court of Appeals case called Tanner versus OHSU, which found it was brought by three lesbian couples because they were denied health benefits from Oregon Health Science University. And before the case went to appeal, the university changed its policy and began covering same-sex marriages, which they are free to do. Private employers are free to do that. The case in Tanner only addressed public employers and said it was unconstitutional to discriminate between a married couple and male and female and a lesbian or gay couple. That's the first time one of our appellate courts has made that decision. In a footnote, they said, we do not decide that issue as it relates to private employers because it's not before us today. The implication being is that they find the definition that's currently in statute of what a marriage is to be unconstitutional, and they would apply that same logic to private employers. So that is the reason why this is before us today. To me, we'd have two ways to do it, or three, actually. And I understand the House took a look at a majority report that would have rolled back Tanner and actually would have denied the benefits that were granted there to gays and lesbian couples. I'm glad the House turned that down. And instead, it went back to committee and Lee Shetterly brought forward this as a compromise. The other position you could do is just say that the legislature does have the constitutional right to define what a marriage is. That would probably be my preference. And for me right now, the current statute makes sense. If we're going to change the statute and say that anyone could be married or who can be married, you don't have to be male and female, that would be a serious debate and probably take several years before it became law, and there'd probably be referrals and whatnot. I'm not sure Oregon is to that position yet. But with the provision of HJR 4, public employers cannot discriminate. We're not rolling back the Tanner decision. Private employers have the choice of whether or not in their health insurance and their other benefits, if they want to cover just male and female married relationships, they can cover cohabitation between male and females if they wish. They can cover gay and lesbian couples if they wish, and some employers do. But it's a choice for the employer. Oregon does not recognize common law marriages, never has. A few states do. Usually it's living together for 10 years. So this does not affect common law marriages in any way. And if we wanted to provide for common law marriages, that would take specific legislation to accomplish. People who live together, whether they be male and female or same sex, do have other rights that are protected. They have a right to contract among themselves. They have remedies of law and equity. This affects none of that. It used to be, not 25 years ago, the courts would not
enforce any rights between what they call a meretricious relationship, a marriage out of wedlock. And so, the courts have come a long way since then. So I think these are always difficult issues, and it's I think our choice would be not to have it, but because of the Tanner decision, we need to address it, and that's what HJR-4 does.
Thank you,
Senator. I've got Senator Nestor. Thank you, Senator Nestor. I do not support this. I agree with those who have said that this is an inappropriate thing for our Constitution. And I've spoken on this topic a number of times during the session about what is proper for constitutional inclusion and what is proper for statute. And this deals with private conduct. It should be in statute as it is now, not in the Constitution. Furthermore, I'm concerned about two other things, one of which we did meet with counsel and caucus to discuss this. There's serious concerns about the language of the bill with, in the Constitution where it says that marriage may consist only of the union of one male and one female. Currently in statute, we set an age limit of 17, and in meeting with folks in the Attorney General's office, there is some concern that someone who is 14 may want to get married, and I would claim that this is an undue restriction on their constitutional right because this does not specify an age, and could make a case that to require them to be 17 to be married would be in violation of the statute that we have now placed in the Constitution. So I think that's something that we should also have concern for. And not to mention, Madam Co-Chair, I know everybody's anxious to get out of here, and certainly a couple of hours on this in store, I don't think will really help expedite that.
Thank you, Senator. Representative Patrick?
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. This was already voted on in the House. I was not there the day it was voted on. I have agreed with the Co-Chair to provide a courtesy vote, to only provide a courtesy vote for this. My understanding is if Senator Tutub was here that she would vote for this, and I believe that Senator Timms would also. I know that both of them are still today and could not be here, and we'll be providing a courtesy vote for that purpose only.
Thank you, Representative.
Ken Butler? Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I recognize that the issue before us today is the fiscal impact of House Senate Resolution 4, but I did not speak on the floor relative to House Senate Resolution 4. I feel that it would be a disservice to my fundamental beliefs if I did not say something at this particular time relative to that which has been said in this full committee of Ways and Means. I would just take this one opportunity to say that that if we have any inkling about unfairness in this process, that's something that we'll have to sort out with the ballot box. So I would love to see the folks in the state of Oregon sort it out with the ballot box. They've sorted out other issues similar, but not identical to this defense of marriage issue in the past. But I would say I would say unequivocally that if Oregon continues in the direction that it continues to go in right now in its liberalization of these kinds of laws, that if we continue for very much longer, that at some particular point the great destruction by fire of Sodom and Gomorrah, as referred to in Genesis, he who created that great fire is going to owe a great apology to the people of Sodom and Gomorrah as to what's happening in the state of Oregon.
Thank you, Representative Butler. Are there further questions or comments on HJR 4? Okay, hearing and seeing none, let's have a roll call on HJR 4.
Senator Hammond?
No.
Yee?
No.
Tro?
No.
Bryant?
Aye.
Ferrioli?
Aye.
Fisher?
Aye.
Metzger?
No.
President Adams?
Aye.
Representative Westland?
Aye.
Messerly?
Aye.
Leonard?
No.
Butler?
Aye.
Minnis?
Aye.
Patridge?
Courtesy, aye.
Co-Chair Lewis?
Aye. HJR 4 has having received the required majority, is passed to the floor with due pass recommendation. I thank you all for your work this morning. Senator Bryant will carry on the Senate side, and keep your schedules open today. We may have another poll. Don't know yet, but we might.